Today's Shir is Masechta Shabbos Daf Ches. We will begin on Daf Zayin Amud Beis, six lines from the bottom. Gufa Amar Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda teaches us, if not, Kana B'Rishus HaYachid. If somebody stuck a pole in the Rishus HaYachid, V'Zorak V'Noch HaGavav, and then somebody threw an object from the Rishus HaRabim and it landed on top of the pole, even if the pole is 100 amas tall, chayiv, the person who threw this object will be chayiv. Because as we learned in the previous year, the Rishus HaYochid goes up to the Rikia, and therefore the fact that this pole is so very tall doesn't make a difference to the halacha, and the halacha will be that this person will be chayiv. What will be in the Rishus HaRabim? So from Rashi, it seems that his opinion is very clear, that Rav Chisda is only stating his opinion in the Rishus HaYochid. But in the Rishus HaRabim, Rav Chisda will agree that you have to have a dalet al dalet. And so too is the opinion of Tosfos. Actually, Tosfos says that Rishus HaYochid is a machloikis if you need a dalet al dalet. In a Rishus HaRabim, you don't need a dalet al dalet. Even Rav Chisda will agree that you need a dalet al dalet. So now, we've learned a very bechidish, contrary to the basic concepts that we've discussed many times in our Masechta, that you don't need to have a dalet al dalet for it to be considered a valid hanocha. Ask the Gemara, Leim Rav Chisda, Dama Karebi. So should we suggest that Rav Chisda follows the opinion of Rebbe, the Tanya? For we learned in a Braisa, Zorak v'noch agav is this koshu. If somebody threw an object into the Rishus HaRabim and it landed on a small protrusion, Rebbe Mechai v'cham apoitrim, Rebbe says, Yechayiv, it's considered a valid hanocha. The Chum say it's not considered a valid hanocha. Says the Gemara, Amar Abaya, Rishus HaYochid, in a Rishus HaYochid, it could be that everybody agrees with Rav Chisda. It's not a machloikish. The Kul Amaloi Pligi by Rav Chisda, everybody agrees with Rav Chisda that in Rishus HaYochid, you don't have to have a hanocha on a makoim Dalet al dalet. Elohocha, so what's unique about Rav Chisda's situation? What's unique about Rav Chisda's situation is be'ilan ha'oimed b'rishus ha'yochid, where the tree, the trunk of the tree, is in the Rishus HaRabim, in the Rishus ha'yochid, but its trunk, its branches are going into the Rishus ha'yochid, going into the Rishus HaRabim. Again, be'ilan ha'omim b'rishus ha'yochid, the actual trunk of the tree is in Rishus ha'yochid, v'noifa noita l'rishus ha'rabim, but its trunk is extending into the Rishus ha'rabim. V'zorach anoch adnoifai. And somebody threw something from the Rishus ha'rabim onto the branches. And now, the machloikis is the Rebbe Sover, Amrin and Shadi noifa basik, right? So, the pshat, the second pshat Rashi suggests, which is the easiest pshat to learn the Gemara with, that even though these branches are extending into the Rishus HaRabim, since they emanate from the tree, which is in the Rishus HaYochid, they get the din of the Rishus HaYochid. And therefore, when somebody throws something onto those branches, it's as if he threw it onto Rishus HaYochid. And therefore, if somebody was standing in the Rishus HaRabim and threw something and it landed on those branches, it landed in the Rishus HaYochid. The Rebbe Sover, because Rebbe's opinion is, Amrin Shadi Nafi Basikrei. And if the trunk is in Rishus HaYochid, the branches are considered that they are Rishus HaYochid. For Rabbanan Savri, whereas the opinion of the Rabbanan are, Lo Amrin Shadi Nafi Basikrei. We look at where the branches actually are. And since the actual branches are in the Rishus HaRabim, the fact that they emanate from a trunk, which is in the Rishus HaYochid, is not the factor. Rashi's other pshat is a different pshat altogether. He says that the pshat is where you have a trunk of a tree, which is 4 tfachim, but the branches are not tfachim. And the question is, do we consider the branches, since they're emanating from a trunk which is dalat tfachim, as if they are dalat tfachim? Or do we say that no, we have to look at the actual place where this object landed? And since the actual place where this object landed was not dalat al-dalat, the fact that they emanate from a tree which is dalat al-dalat doesn't make a difference. But most Mefarshim prefer Rashi's second pshat. Begins the Gemara, Amar Abaya, Zorek Kaveris L'Shus Rabim. If somebody threw a beehive, a basket, a beehive, into the Shus Rabim, Gevaya Sora, if the beehive is 10 tfachim high, Ven Rechav Shisha, but it's not 6 tfachim wide, Chayiv. But if it's Rechav Shisha, if it's 6 tfachim wide, then you potter. What's the difference if it's 6 tfachim wide or not? Here we're speaking about a round basket. So first we have to do some math. If we want to be able to accommodate a square inside a circle, the diameter of the circle's diameter is equal to the diagonal of the square. We know that the diagonal of a square is 1, it's not actually 1.4. The Gemara uses the number of 1.4. It's actually 1.25. But it's 1.4 according to the Gemara of the sides. So if we're going to be able to fit a square basket into a circular basket, the diagonal of that circle, or the diagonal of the square, which will be the diameter of the circle, is 1.4, is larger than the sides of the square. So if the sides of the square are 4, so then when you have square 4, when you have a side of a square 4, the diagonal will be 5.6. Rounded off, it'll be 6. So what have we accomplished? So we have now a basket that's 10 tfachim tall by six tfachim wide. That basket has the dimensions of a Rishus HaYochid. And many Rishonim explain this Gemara that, as we've been discussing and we'll discuss often in this Masechta, the halacha of any malacha in Hilchos Shabbos is learned from what was done in the Mishkan and in the building of the Mishkan. In the building of the Mishkan, they threw objects. They didn't throw rishuyos. And since here we're throwing a rishus, we're not just throwing an object, so that isn't the malacha of carrying that took place in the Mishkan. That's one pshat. Taisa says a different pshat. Because if the object that is being thrown, is Rishus HaYochid by itself, because as we're learning, it has all the dimensions of Rishus HaYochid. So when we deposit this basket in the Rishus HaRabim, we're really depositing a Rishus HaYochid. So if I started carrying this basket, says Tosfos, from a Rishus HaYochid, even though I carried it through a Rishus HaRabim, but now when I deposit it, because of its dimensions, I'm depositing it in a Rishus HaYochid. And when you carry from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaYochid, even though you carry Derech Rishus HaRabim, that isn't considered a Maisa HaYitzah. A Maisa HaYitzah is only when there's Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim, not Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaYochid through Rishus HaRabim. Comes along Rav and says, afil en ruchav shisha. Even if it's not 6 tefachim wide, he'll be potter when you throw this basket. My tama, lefi, my tami, efshel krumishel kana. It's impossible that when you have a basket made out of reeds, shlo yalu lemalam asara, that part of the reeds extend above the 10 tefachim. So that means that part of this basket extended above the Rishos HaRabim. Because as we learned yesterday, a Rishos HaRabim only extends up to 10 tefachim. So here when you made the Hanocha on the basket, part of the basket extended out of the Rishos HaYochid. It extended into the Rishos HaRabim. And it extended out of Rishos HaRabim into the area of the Makom Ptur. And in order for a Hanocha to be considered a Hanocha for which you chayiv on Shabbos, it has to be that the entire object that you carried into the Rishos HaRabim is in the Rishos HaRabim. But if part of the object is out of the Rishos HaRabim, then it's not considered a full-fledged Hanocha in the Rishos HaRabim for which you should be mechoyiv midaraisa. So now, says Rava, I don't need to make this basket into a Rishos HaYochid that the different explanations we gave a moment ago ought to apply. Because even if the basket isn't the size of a Rishos HaYochid, but if it's taller than 10 tefachim, there's another reason why this will not be considered the malach that you chayiv for. Now the Gemara gives a different reason to be potter. Kaf al piyah, you turn the basket on its rim. So now the rim is where it's open. And there's a halacha. There are two halachas that we need to apply. There's one halacha that we apply of Lovet. The halacha of Lovet tells us, it's a halacha l'moshe m'sinai, a gemara m'sech the sukkah d'avav m'beis, that anything that two objects, typically it's applied when an object is within, near the floor, but as we learn in m'sech the sukkah, it isn't limited to that. In our Gemara, it's clearly that's the case. Where something is within three tefachim of another area, that area is considered like it's closed, and it's considered that they're connected already. So therefore, says the Gemara, if you have a basket, which is just shiva umashahu, it's just seven tefachim, and now it comes within the ground, so you have 10 tefachim within, or the entire basket is within the Rishos HaRabim, and you'll be chayif. But if it's not 6 tefachim tall, why? But if it's 7 amachza, it doesn't really have to be 7 amachza. It's really, if it's 7 and 2 mashahus, so as soon as it comes within the 3 tefachim, or less than 3 tefachim, of the ground, it's already considered like a landed on the ground, and part of it is extending above the 10 tefachim. Rava just taught us that when something isn't completely landed in the Rishos HaRabim, when part of where it is outside of the Rishos HaRabim, so then it's not considered a Hanok in the Rishos HaRabim. So if we combine the part that's loved on the ground plus the height of the entire basket, you now have part of it sticking out above the 10 tefachim, and that wouldn't be considered a valid hanocha. Rav Ashi disagrees. Afilu sheva u'machza chayiv. Even if we have the amount that if we combine loved and the height of the basket, it'll be above 10 tefachim, we don't combine that. My tama, because here we don't apply the concept of loved. What was the basis of saying loved? That I extend the walls of the basket as if they're touching the ground, even though they're not touching the ground. Says Rav Ashi, when can I say such a concept? I can only say such a concept when the walls are meant to be extended. The walls of a basket are not meant to be extended. The walls of a basket are meant to be inside. And since they're meant to be inside, not extended, we can't use the concept of lovet to extend it. The Rishonim also point out, when we spoke, Rava gave a different reason, a different qualification when you're not chayiv. He says if the basket is 10 tefachim tall, so then you'll have krumius, you'll have certain pieces of the reeds sticking out above the 10 tefachim. So Rava said, so then you don't have the whole 10 tefachim in the Rishus HaRabim, and therefore you would not be chayiv for Hanoch in the Rishus HaRabim. Abaye disagreed. Why did Abaye disagree? The Gemara doesn't say this expressly. But the shot that the Rishonim give is that Abaye is disagreeing because only Rava says this halacha, not Abaye. Why does Abaye disagree? Because Abaye holds that crummiest, these little insignificant reeds, cannot be considered an extension of the basket, that because of them we should say that the entire basket has not landed in the Rishus HaRabim. However, point out the Rishonim, that even if Abaye doesn't accept Rava's opinion, Rashi says this, regarding the halacha of the krumius, regarding loved, he will agree. Says the Gemara, Amma Ula, Amma Tisha Rishus Rabim. You have a pole that's 9 tefachim high in the Rishus Rabim. Rabbi Makasvimalov, and many people use it to adjust different objects on that pole. V'zorek v'nachal gabov. And somebody threw an object from 4 amos away in the Rishus HaRabim. As we've been learning, throwing an object 4 amos in the Rishus HaRabim makes you chayiv. So now, says Ula, you're chayiv. You'll be chayiv. If you put something on that, you'll be chayiv. And Rashi says, it doesn't mean that they always use it for that purpose. As long as it's something that is usable for that purpose, that is enough. The Rava disagrees. The Rava holds it has to be actually used for that purpose. The fact that it's usable for that purpose doesn't make a difference. Rashi also says that it doesn't make a difference what is the width of that pole. Ask the Rashba, going back to the beginning of our shir, isn't the halacha that in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim that you have to be considered a hanocha, it has to be arba al arba? And here, it doesn't have that dimension. So why should you be chayiv? Why should it be considered a hanochah and Rishus HaRabim? So the Rashba says, a very big chiddush. The Rashba says, the fact that people use it on a regular basis to put objects on, they use it to adjust their objects, it makes it into a makam choshev. And a place that has a significance for use, for what it's made for, the halacha is that it's asur, that it has a chshivas. Where did we learn this halacha? We learned this halacha at the beginning of the Masechta, because at the beginning of the Masechta we learned that yada shel adam chshuv ka'arba l'arba, a person's hand, which doesn't have, obviously, the dimensions of 4 tefachim, make it, but they used, and I remember we explained, because hands grasp the objects that are put into them, that's why the hands are considered a makam choshev, even though they don't have the physical dimensions of dalet al dalet. Here too, the halacha will be that even though it doesn't have the physical dimensions of dalet al dalet, it will be considered a valid hanocha. The Rava disagrees, and the Rava says that it has to have dalet al dalet. There's another machlokes. Rashi says that it's exactly 9 tefachim tall. So from Rashi it seems that let's say it would be 10 tefachim, then it wouldn't be considered a place where people could use for adjusting their baggages, and you wouldn't be chayiv. However, there are Rishonim, the Rosh, that disagrees that even anywhere between 9 and 10 tefachim would have the same halacha that we're discussing in our Gemara. So now again, the Gemara says when you have this pole that's 9, Ula said, when you have this pole that's 9 tefachim tall in the Rishus HaRabim, that people use or can use, according to Rashi, to adjust their baggages. If somebody transported something, Dalet Amos in Rishus HaRabim, and it landed there, you'll be chayiv. My Tama. So the Gemara explains, Pachs Mishloisha, Midras Daras Le Rabim. We discussed this in our previous year. anything that takes up less than 3 tefachim in height in Rishus HaRabim, so people step on it. So it's certainly part of the Rishus HaRabim. Mishloisha Tisha, an area, something which is between 3 and 9 tefachim tall, Lo Midras Dar Silei, V'lo Ksufim Kasfi. People don't use it to step on, people don't use it to adjust on, and therefore it cannot be considered a Rishus HaRabim. But of course, the question that many Rishonim ask is, fine, it's not going to be a Rishus HaRabim, but maybe it should be a Karmelis. And the answer is, ain't Karmelis b'keilim. A Keli cannot become a Karmelis. Tisha, but when it's 9 tefachim tall, vade mekasmalai. Amlei Rabbi Rabbi Yosef. So Bai then asked a question to Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi then asked a question to Rabbi Yosef. Begumamai, we spoke about a pole. What about a hole that's 9 tefachim deep in the Rishus HaRabim? What will be the status, asked the Gemara, of that pole? Amalei, so he answered, v'kein beguma. Whatever is the halacha regarding something standing, say, so too will be the halacha by something going into the ground. Rav Amma, Rav disagrees. And he says, Beguma loy. That even though Ula taught us that by the pole it's considered Rishus Rabim, Ula will agree that that's not the halacha by a pit. Why? Because it's a tashmish idei tchak. It's not easily used. It only can be used with difficulty. A tashmish idei tchak, loy shmei tashmish. Ask the Gemara, Eisvei Rav Ada, Bar Masna L'Rava. It says in the Braisa, Hoisuk Apostle Menach Mishus Rabim. If somebody had a box laying in the Rishus Rabim, Gavoy Asar V'Rochva Arba, it's 10 tefachim tall and 4 tefachim wide. Eimei Otat Loi Metoichoi Rishus Rabim. You may not carry anything from it to the Rishus Rabim, for Loi Rishus Rabim Metoichoi. You may not carry from it. Pachs Mekein, if it's less, metaltlin. And as we said before, the reason is because it's not a Rishus HaYochid. It doesn't have the dimensions of Rishus HaYochid. And ain't Karmelis Bekalim, so it doesn't have the dimensions of a Karmelis either, and therefore you could carry it. V'chein beguma. And then the Braisa uses the two words. V'chein beguma. And now we need to understand, what does the Braisa mean when it said the word became beguma? Suggest the Gemara. My lava seifa. Isn't it going back to what was spoken about previously that says that just like a box that's less than 10 tefachim high has the status of Rishus Rabim, so to a hole that's less than 10 tefachim deep has the status of Rishus Rabim. So we have a raya that whatever goes for something standing up goes for something in the depth. Says Marloi. It's going back to the Reisha. And it's teaching that a hole that's 10 tefachim deep and 4 tefachim wide is a full-fledged Rishus HaYochid. Eisvei asked the Gemara, the halacha is that we know on Shabbos, we all have a tchum. We all could carry only 2,000 amos, we all could walk only 2,000 amos past the city. What is the halacha if somebody wants to walk past those 2,000 amos? So he can make an Erev Tchumim. What does an Erev Tchumim accomplish? Friday afternoon, he takes food, he puts it down, let's say he wants to carry 4,000 amos to the east. There's no houses, so we have a Tchum area issue. So at the end of the 2,000 amos from the city, he puts down food items, and what that accomplishes is that he's kind of Shvisa. You live where your food is. So now by putting your food down in that spot, that became your place where you're going to be resting on Shabbos. And therefore, what is the defining moment when we decide what is your dwelling place for Shabbos? Bein HaShemoshes. So the Erev Tchumim has to be in existence, Bein HaShemoshes. Of course, there's no free ride in life. And by putting the Erev Tchumim down on the east side, to get you another 2,000 amas in the direction of the east, what you lose is that you can't walk an amma past the city border on the west. But why do we just say that the tchum is kinda, when does the Erev Tchum go into effect, Bein HaShemashos? What does the Erev Tchum accomplish? That the food is the food that is my food for Shabbos, and therefore it has to be accessible to me, Bein HaShemashos. So says, ask the Gemara. The Braisa teaches us, the Skavim was Rosh Hashanah. Somebody put down Erev Tchum and the Rosh Hashanah. He wants to take residence in the Rosh Hashanah. But he put his Erev into a bar. If the Erev is within 10 tefachim of the pit of the opening of the bar, Eruv Erev. If it's deeper, ain't Eruv Erev. What do we see? From here we see that, and the Gemara explains itself. What's exactly the Brice is saying? If we're speaking about a bar that has 10 tefachim depth, ulamala, and above tefachim means the doli vasvei, and he's going to take the Erev out of the pit and put it there, that if the Erev is within 10 tefachim of the opening, ulamata means that tatoi vasvei, that it's put lower, mali lamala malamata. What's the difference? Where in the bar is the Erev? The bar is Rosh Hashanah Yachid. You want to be kind of Shvisa in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Bein HaShemashos, you're not allowed to carry from Rosh Hashanah Yachid to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So what's the difference? Hu b'makom echad ve'eruv b'makom achar hu. He's in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. The Erev is in Rosh Hashanah Yachid, and therefore it can't be a valid Erev. Elolav. We have to explain. It's talking about a bar, the less be'asara, that it doesn't have the depth of 10. Since it doesn't have the depth of 10, it's not a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. And therefore you could take it. V'ktani Eruv Eruv. Alma, why? If it's 9 tefachim deep, Alma tashmish eidei tchak, tashmish shmei tashmish. Because we're saying that the pit is 9 tefachim. And if a pit is 9 tefachim in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, we'll say that a pit that's 9 tefachim deep, just like a pole which is 9 tefachim tall is a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, a pit which is 9 tefachim deep is a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. And I'm carrying from the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim to the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. And therefore, if I'm carrying from the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim to the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, that's why it's not a problem. But what do we see? It seems from here that the pit that's 9 tefachim deep, it has the same halachic status as the pole, which is 9 tefachim tall. So there's a very interesting discussion here amongst the Rishonim. We know that you're not allowed to carry Dalet Amos b'Rishus HaRabim. What about carrying less than Dalet Amos b'Rishus HaRabim? Is that mutter or asur? So from this Gemara, it seems that we have a raya that you're allowed to carry less than Dalet Amos in Rishus HaRabim. Because if it was asur to carry any amount in Rishus HaRabim, so then what's the Gemara saying? That I'm carrying it from the pit in Rishus HaRabim to outside of the pit where I want to be kind of Shvisa. I'm not allowed to carry in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim any amount. This, says the Rashba, quoting the Rabbeinu Yoina, is a clear indication that the halacha of carrying Dalet Amos Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is only Dalet Amos, not less, and less is not even Asum Adrabbanan. So ask the Chavos Yor, but why is that the halacha? We know that throughout Shas, we have a rule of Chatzis Shir Osam and HaTorah. The halacha is you're not allowed to eat a kezayis of chalif. The halacha is you're not allowed to eat a kezayis of chametz and Pesach. But you're not allowed to eat even less than a kezayis. Chatzis Shir is Osam. So why don't I say here that you're not even carry less because of Chatzi Shir? So the Levush Matcha quotes the Balamor, says a very interesting vart, and we said this vart in the previous year. What's the reason for the Issa to carry Dalar Amis in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim? What's the Shir of Dalar Amis? Because we said that a person's Dalar Amis, anything that's within your Dalar Amis is considered where you are. So carrying within Dalar Amis is carrying within your own personal Rosh Hashanah Yachid. I would use a term that we hear often. Your Dalar Amis is your personal space. And since your Dalar Amis is your personal space, there's no Isser of, that's like your own Rosh Hashanah Yachid. And therefore the Isser only begins after, the Isser only begins after the Dalar Amis. Before the Dalar Amis, it's all within your own personal space. So, back to our Gemara. We clearly had here an indication that a bar that's 9 tefachim deep is considered Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Zimnan Mishanali, so sometimes Rava would answer the question from that Braisa, that the Braisa is referring to a situation for who ve'eruva b'karmelis, that the 9 tefachim deep bar is a karmelis, and the area outside of that is also a karmelis. And since they're both karmelis, there's no issa to carry from one karmelis to another karmelis. But as the Gemara, we said, the wording of the Braisa was Niskavan Lishvet Rishus Rabim. Says the Gemara, my karle Rishus Rabim. Why is it called Rishus Rabim? L'fishen Rishus HaYochid. Once it's not Rishus HaYochid, then it's already considered like a karmelis. V'zimna B'shanelei. And another time, that the bar is not, that's not 10 tefachim deep, that's 9 tefachim deep, is a karmelis. He indeed was mechavin to be kind of shvisa in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. But this braisa is following the opinion of Rebbe. Dama called Dovashim Shvus. Rebbe says that anything that's usher because of a shvus, anything which is only usher medrabbonim, carrying from a karmelis to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, as we've been learning from the beginning of the Sechta, is only an Issa Drabbonon, Legozer LaBen HaShemashes. During the Ben HaShemashes, Chazal did not make Gzer Shvus. And therefore here, since it's the time, as I said earlier, that there's an Issa, that your Koine Shvis is Ben HaShemashes, and now your Erev is in a karmelis, you're in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, the Issa to carry is only an Isser Drabonon, that for it's not Osser. This is interesting, Machloikas Achroinim. Here the Gemara says, Logoz Rishvus Bein Ashmoshes. The Machloikas Magen Avraham and Tois for Shabbos, is that only on Erev Shabbos or even on Motzi Shabbos? The Magen Avraham says that only on Erev Shabbos, where Shabbos hasn't yet begun, we say the Legoz Rishvus Bein Ashmoshes. But on Motzei Shabbos, when it is already Shabbos, there we don't have a rule of Legoz Rishvus Bein Ashmoshes. The Sefer Tosfos Shabbos disagrees, and he says that even Motzei Shabbos, there's a klal of Legoz Rishvus Bein Ashmoshes. Says the Gemara, says Rava, because what happened in the Gemara was, the Rava said that this area is not a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. The Gemara asked a very strong question from the Braisa, and the Gemara gave two terutzim. So that Rava says, don't think that the answers I gave you were just trying to push you off. The answers I gave you were very precise. The Tanan. If there's a shallow pool of water, and everybody in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, so the loch is Azorik L'toich Arba Amis Chayiv. That area is considered part of the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. The Kamahur Kak Mayim. What is considered a Kak Mayim? Pachs Mesar Tfachim. Less than 10 Tfachim. The Kak Mayim Shosh Hashanah Rabbim Mahalchboi. And a shallow pool of water that people walk through. Azorik L'toich Arba Amis Chayiv. So it's a question immediately. What does the Mishnah tell us the exact same din twice? That if you have a shallow pool of water, that people walk through, it's considered a Rishus Rabbim. Why does the Mishnah have to tell us the exact same din twice? Bishlam Rukak, Rukak Trezimni, says the Gemara, I understand why the Mishnah had to teach us the din of Rukak twice. Chavim Maisachama, one is to talk about the summer, Chavim Maisachama, one is for the winter. V'tzricha. Deshmina B'Maisachama, I would say in the winter, in the summer, the pool of water is considered Rishus Rabbim. Because Davidi Inche L'Kuri Nafshayu, people walk through such an area to cool themselves off in the summer, and therefore I could understand why it's considered a Rishus Rabbim. Av B'Maisach Shamim, in the winter, it's cold enough. Why would I walk through that area? And maybe it shouldn't be considered a Malay, it shouldn't be considered Rishus Rabbim. V'yashvin B'Maisach Shamim, if you tell me in the winter, Agav the mitnif mikri v'nachis. People's shoes and clothing are dirty, muddy anyway, so they don't mind walking through a puddle of water. Their shoes are ruined, their clothing is dirty. Am mosachama, where their clothing is clean, they're not going to want to walk through that area. Tzricha. So now we understand why the Mishnah had to teach us the din of rikak twice. But ask the Gemara, al helech trei zimni lamali. Why does the Mishnah have to teach in both versions that they walk through the pole? A laugh to teach us hilach haydei tchak shmei hilach, specifically walking. That's what we say, that even though you're walking with difficulty, it's still considered walking. But tashmish, using an area, haydei tchak, where it's not convenient to use that area, lo shmei tashmish shmamina. And that's why Rava was not ready to accept that even though everybody agrees that a pole that's 9 tefachim tall in the Rishus HaRabim is considered Rishus HaRabim. A pit that's 9 tefachim deep in the Rishus HaRabim is not considered Rishus HaRabim. Amar Rav Yehuda, Hai Zirza Dekani, when you have a bundle of reeds, and the way the bundle of reeds is transported, Rama V'Zakfa, Rama V'Zakfa. You have to keep on lifting up one end of the bundle from the ground, and then pushing it forward, and then you pick up the back and you push it forward. And that's how you transport it through the Rishus Rabim. You're not chayiv if transporting something that way through the Rishus Rabim. Why? Because that isn't considered my sakira. And as we keep on learning in this Masechta, to be chayiv on Shabbos, you have to have a my sakira. And here there was no my sakira. There was a braisa that we learned in Davov Amar Aleph. Amar, Adam Oymer Aleph Skupa. Somebody was standing on the threshold of his house. Noitel me balabais. He could take something from the balabais who's in the Rishus HaYachid, v'noisen loy, or give something to him from that makom p'tur to the person standing inside the house. Noitel me ani. Somebody standing on this threshold may take an object from the ani who's standing in the Rishus Rabim, or v'noisen loy, or he could give him an object. He's standing on the Makom Tor, give it to the Ani who's standing in the Rishus Rabim. So the Gemara asks, Hai Eskupa Mai, exactly what is the halachic status of this Eskupa? Ilan Eskupa Rishus Rabim, if it's a Rishus Rabim, Noitim HaBalabayis, why would you be allowed to take something from the Balabayis? HaMapik Rishus HaYoch Rishus Rabim. The Balabayis is standing in the Rishus HaYoch and you're in the Rishus Rabim. Ella, are you going to say that the scooper is Rishus HaYochid? So then the question would be, why would you be allowed to take from the Ani? HaKamayim Rishus HaYochid, Rishus HaRabim. The Ani is standing in the Rishus HaRabim, and you are standing in the Rishus HaYochid. You're not allowed to transport something from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYochid. Ella, a scoop is Karmelis? Says the Gemara, the Bryce says you're allowed to L'chatchila do this. You're not allowed to L'chatchila transport from a Karmelis to Rishus HaRabim, or Kamus or Rishus HaYochid, or vice versa. It may not be an Issa Deraisa, however, Soif is Surami Issa. It is an Issa Derabbanan, at least, says the Gemara, as we explained. The Skupa is a Mokum Petor Ba'alma. The Skupa is a Mokum Petor. Why is it a Mokum Petor? Kigoyin Deles by Arba Al Arba. It doesn't have the dimensions of Dalit a Dalit. It's three Tfachim off the ground. Because if it's not three tefachim off the ground, it's a continuation of the ground. But it's three tefachim above the ground, but not four tefachim wide. That's why it's a makom p'tor. V'chicha di osur avdimi, Amar Rav Yochanan, makom shein by arba al arba tefachim. If you have a raised separate area, platform, that's above three tefachim tall, but not four tefachim wide, mutal b'nei Rishus HaRabim, u'b'nei Rishus HaYochel, katef lof, people could use that area to put things down. However, that area may not be used. You can't use it as a subterfuge to take something from the Rishus HaYachid, put it down in the skupa, and then take it to the Rishus Rabbim. What will be the halacha if on one side there's a Rishus HaYachid and the other side is a Rishus Rabbim? There's a Karmelis, not like this case. So now we're dealing with the Rabbonins. So the Shulchan Aruch in Simen Shim Mem Vav brings Yesh Oisrim V'Yesh Matirim, and since the Yesh Matirim that the Shulchan Aruch quotes says the Sefer Shira Mitzionim Ba'alocha, we have a klal when the Shulchan Aruch says Yesh Oisrim V'Yesh Matirim, we go with the second Shita, and therefore we could be lenient. That's according to the Shulchan Aruch. But the Ramah in Simen Shin Ayin Bey Sif Vav seems to be machmer that even if one side is the Rishus Daraisa, a Rishus HaYachid, or Rishus Rabin, and the other side is a Karmelis, the same halacha B'vach Lo Yachlifu would not apply. There's a machloikus. Certainly, one person cannot be standing on this askupa and be used as the individual to transport through this askupa from the Rishus HaYachid to the Rishus Rabbim or vice versa. What will be the halacha, not where there's a person standing on the askupa transporting the item from the Rishus HaYachid to the Rishus HaRabbim or vice versa. Somebody went and put down an item on the Makom Ptur, and now the other person takes it from there. What will be the halacha there? If the person standing there, so maybe we should be machmer. But if he's not standing there, maybe that's not considered a zilzal in Hilchus Haitzah, which is what the Gemara is concerned about. And therefore, there are paiskim that suggest that under those circumstances, Rishonim, the Beis Meir, Achronim, that are lenient. The Chazanish says, for example, let's say it was a monkey deposited something on the skupa, and I take it from the skupa into my house, it would be mutter. Because, again, there's no person, there are no people that we're concerned are trying to make a subterfuge in Hilchus Shabbos. This shaila comes up regarding a mailbox. Let's say somebody has a mailbox, which is ostensibly a Makom Ptur, and the mailman, who's not Jewish, put something into the mailbox. Could I take it out from the mailbox and take it into my home? The Shalos HaTshuvos B'Tzeila Chochma, Chela Gimel, Simen Yud Zayin discusses this. And he seems to take, if it was put there by a non-Jewish mail deliverer, certainly he takes a lenient opinion if the mailbox is a Makom Ptur.